everyone. If you're new with us, my name is Victor. We welcome you, and we really look forward to connecting with you after the service. For a couple of years now, at least, we have been genuinely and sincerely asking God to make us into the kind of church to reflect His love to those around us. You know, here in this church and here in the faith that we hold dear, there's something that's true. It's that God works in our lives, that He reaches down to our lives and He makes a difference. But what a shame it is that that difference stays just here. We have colleagues and family members and friends who yearn to hear about this life. And it is up to us to reflect this love to them. More than that, God has placed Grace Gospel Church right here at Temple Avenue and Victoria Park for a purpose. These places and community here that have very, very specific needs. There are people here who are needing God as their healer, as their shepherd. And we've been praying for a while now that God would show us how to be this kind of church. Now, that's the whole reason why we talked about the food program ministry, right? That's the whole reason why we took over a year to pray about and discuss as a church why we should change our names from Grace Chinese Gospel Church to Grace Gospel Church, that we can very intentionally open up arms, as God's arms are open to this community. So we know that there's so much that He is teaching us, but today is yet one Sunday that we're setting aside to be reminded from God's Word about what it means to be a church of mercy and compassion and justice and goodness to the community that we are placed in a very real way. So I actually had a message that God had heard in my heart to share with you this Sunday. But a brother who is the deacon of our church, TK, many of you will know TK. Annette and Jeremy are part of a congregation. And TK has been telling us again and again that he has something really he's burdened to share. And as he kept saying this, I took a couple of days to pray about it, and I put my sermon in and said, let me invite TK to share his heart with you. It's good to hear from another voice what the Lord is saying to us. So TK, we're so grateful that you've taken time to be here. And TK worships and is part of the Cantonese ministry here, but he's on our board, and he has a real heart for community outreach as well. And we're going to get you to come and share from God's Word as well, talk a little bit about what the Phase 4 gym here means to us and to the community. So, brother, come on up.
Thank you to Pastor Victor for giving me this opportunity to share God's Word with you, and also to testify to God's greatness and what a miraculous and marvelous work He has done among us in Phase 4, and I will tell you more about that. In your bulletins, you should have the outline for today's sermon. If you want, you can follow along. So today's topic is the 3 C's, community, compassion, and commission. You remember the 3 C's, you will be doing well, okay? Our text is from Matthew 9:35-38. And the key Bible truth we'll be focusing on is that God sends us out to have compassion and to serve the community. So ever since February, everyone can see that our Phase 4 construction started. We are in the midst of the biggest project in the history of this church. We're spending $1.5 million to build a new gym over there, to repave the parking lot, and make many other improvements to our church facility. You may be wondering, why are we doing that? What are the goals and vision behind this master project? How does it relate to what the Bible teaches? How has God guided our church in this project? And lastly, how can I be involved? So this morning, I hope to provide answers to those questions. So 2,000 years ago, our Heavenly Father sent Jesus Christ down to earth to do His will. Today, we will learn from His model of serving. We will be looking at Matthew 9:35-38. The background of this passage actually starts from chapter 4. And chapter 9, verse 35 is actually just a summary of the preceding big chunk of verses from chapter 4. So let us look at chapter 9, verse 35. Let's read it all together. Jesus traveled. Let's read it all together. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogue and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. So here we can see that Jesus went to every town and every city in Galilee, and he went to every community. In each community, he served them in three ways. So first, he taught them. So he not only taught them in the synagogues, he also taught them in other places, even on the mountain. Okay? He taught them the truth about God, about man, and our relationship with God. So on the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in chapter 5 to 7, he taught what kingdom citizens should be like, what their values should be like, and what their conduct should be like. So in his teaching, we see that Jesus met intellectual needs. Jesus also announced the good news about the kingdom. What is the good news about the kingdom? The good news about the kingdom is that the king has come to earth. Jesus is the king. If we believe and trust in him, and we accept his rule in our hearts, we become kingdom citizens. And we have all the blessings of the kingdom. Our sins are forgiven. We have peace with God. We can have an intimate relationship with God. And we can become God's children. We have eternal life. And we inherit all the spiritual blessings promised to us. So in preaching the good news about the kingdom, Jesus met the spiritual needs. Jesus also healed. In chapters 8 and 9, we see that the lepers were cleansed. The one with fever had the fever healed. The lame walked, the blind saw, and the mute talked, and the hemorrhaging had the bleeding stopped. In Jesus' physical healing, he met their physical needs. So we can see how Jesus went to each community and he served them, meeting their intellectual, spiritual, and physical needs. In other words, he met their needs holistically. So as followers of Jesus, we have to follow his model of service. We are to serve the community and meet their needs holistically. So this is what we're trying to do as we build a new gym. When people come to play basketball, to play table tennis, and to play badminton, volleyball, we are trying to meet their physical needs. And as they come, we build relationships with them. In these relationships, we live out God's truth before them. We live out God's love before them. We share God's love and the gospel with them so that their physical needs, intellectual needs, and spiritual needs are all met. So let's continue, okay? So let's read this verse together. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So here we see that when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them. So the word compassion is a strong emotion from the gut. It means deep sympathy. So why did Jesus have compassion when he saw the crowd? Because he saw their spiritual plight. He saw that they were confused. In the original meaning, it meant that they were oppressed and they were bullied. They were helpless. They had fallen down and they were unable to help themselves up and no one could help them up. They were like sheep without shepherd. They were hungry and thirsty. They had no shepherd to guide them to the grass and to the water. They were in constant danger. They were to be devoured by wolves. They had no protection from the shepherd. They were lost. They were without direction. There was no shepherd guiding them. So Jesus saw their plight, and then he had the compassion from his heart on them. So you can see that this is a terrible state that they were in. So Jesus not only has that feeling of pity and sympathy for them, this compassion drove Jesus to action. So we can see that He not only saw the plight in their context, but the plight actually represents the plight of every person in this world. We are all sinners. We are all oppressed and bound by sin. We are all beaten down by sin. We can't help ourselves. No one can help us. We are like sheep without shepherd. Our souls hunger and thirst for God, yet because of our sin, we cannot even draw close to the holy and perfect God. We live in fear, we live in danger, there is no security. We are devoured by sin, death, and Satan. We face eternal death, and we are lost without direction or meaning in our life. So Jesus, when He saw us in this state, He took action out of His compassion. So He came to earth and died for our sins. On the cross, He paid the punishment for our sins. So that before we were oppressed and bound by sin, now because of our trust in Jesus, we can be forgiven and we are free from sin. We have power and victory over sin. He is our good shepherd. And the Bible says the good shepherd sacrificed his life for his sheep. That's exactly what Jesus did to us. So that our soul can be satisfied. And in Him we can have abundant life. We can have peace, security, and protection. In Him we can have power over sin and death and Satan. We have eternal life and we have direction in our life. We have purpose, we have eternal meaning and value. All because of what Jesus did. Before and after picture. So you might ask, how can we have this same compassion that Jesus had? For me, I think it is hard. When I see the crowds, when I come home from work on the highway driving and there's a traffic jam, I don't have compassion. I have anger and frustration. Why are there so many people? Why are they so slow? Honda, boo, 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 boo. When I go to the supermarket and there's a long lineup, I don't have compassion. See the crowds, I get angry. Why do I have to waste my time standing in line? I don't know if you're like me, but we totally lack compassion. How do we learn compassion from Jesus? In my life, Jesus has taught me compassion through different people I've met. So I remember that more than 10 years ago, there was a 54-year-old Cambodian woman who was my patient. She did not speak very good English. Each time she came to see me to express herself and for me to tell her what was wrong and what to do, it took 3 to 4 times the amount of time that I would take with a normal patient. Every time I saw her, I felt so irritated and frustrated. But then God showed me that there was something wrong with me. How can I not have compassion on this Cambodian woman who he deeply loved and he had compassion on? And when I reflect on my life, I find that I was just as irritated and frustrating to God. I'm a sinner. I disappoint Him so many times. I fall so many times. Yet God never gave up on me. And He had compassion and love and patience with me. And yet I was treating someone He loved like that. I felt really bad. So I confess my sin and I repent. And I ask God to help me to have compassion on this woman each time I see her. To help me to live out God's love and to share God's love before her. So after that prayer, my attitude slowly changed. I gradually began to understand her situation. She was a single mother. She had to raise 6 children. One of them had severe mental illness. So when I understood her, I had more and more compassion for her. So she was my patient until she was 65 years old. One day I received word that she was sick and she had to go to the hospital. 1 week after, I received word that she had passed away. So, 1 month after that, one of her daughters came to the clinic to talk to me. I was wondering why. And she told me, I have something very important to tell you. My mother was a devout Buddhas for 65 years. And all six of her children were devout Buddhists. By God's grace, that daughter that came to see me had a chance to become a Christian. So when the mother was sick, she had a great desire to share the gospel with the mother so that she can have eternal life instead of eternal damnation. So she prayed fervently for her mom. She invited her pastor to go to the hospital to visit her mom and share the gospel with her. After the pastor shared the gospel with her, she was silent for a few minutes. Then she asked his daughter, "Is this Jesus that you're talking about, the Jesus that Dr. Wong believes in? Is this God that you're talking about, the God that Dr. Wong believes in?" And when the daughter told her yes, she happily and readily accepted Jesus. When I heard that story from the daughter, I was so happy and excited. Someone who was destined for eternal punishment and hell and death had the chance to receive Jesus and have eternal life. But I felt so ashamed, because I remember my attitude towards her at the beginning. So I think God used her to remind me that we have to have compassion on those people around us. We have to live out and share God's love with them, so that they can also know God's love and they can gain eternal life. So that is the purpose of our faithful construction. As we have many friends come to use the gym, we love them, we share God's love, we share God's compassion, so that they can accept Jesus' love and they can have all the spiritual blessings and eternal life that we have. So this is our following Jesus model of service. So one, we are to serve the community, meeting needs holistically. Two, we are to have compassion on the community. Let's move on. Let's read these verses together. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord, who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field." So before, we saw the picture of man without God as like sheep without shepherd. Here we see another picture. The world is like a plentiful harvest. That is, there's so many people around us who need to hear the gospel. There's so many people around us whose hearts God has prepared. All they need is someone to go and tell them about Jesus, and they will believe, and they will have eternal life in Jesus. But we have a problem here. Although the harvest is great, you see the great contrast, the workers are few. So pray to the Lord, who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the field. So we are to pray to God, who is in charge, to send more workers onto the harvest field. Do you ever wonder why, with such a plentiful and great harvest, it should be joyful, we should be all going out and reaping in the crop? Why are there so few workers? The answer is that to harvest involves hard, sweaty, difficult, and costly work. Most people would rather stay home and chill. Right? Then go out in the hot sun and work your butt off. Much more comfortable to stay home and chill. And then Jesus alluded to this in chapter 10 when he sent out the 12 disciples. He prophesied about the cost that they would have to pay. He said they were being sent like sheep among the wolves. They will be flogged. They will be betrayed to death. They will be hated, they will be persecuted, they will be killed, even they will be enemies of their own family, and yet they are to take up the cross and follow Jesus. With such a heavy price, who would be willing to be sent out? Who, in their right mind, would be willing to go? The answer is only those who have truly experienced Jesus' great and unconditional and sacrificial love. and who want to respond to that love. Jesus, although we were unworthy sinners, has given his all on the cross for us. He laid down his life for us. He was tortured for us. And if we truly understand the depth of that love, we will respond in obedience and we will follow Jesus and we will be willing to give our lives to obey and to be sent. So who are these people who have experienced God's love? Jesus' sacrificial love. It is every Christian. It is you. It is me. It is a proper response to Jesus' love that we give ourselves and pay the cost and follow him and be sent out. So we can see that from the scriptures. He is our good shepherd. He has sacrificed his life for us. So because of his love, because we are in deep gratitude to his sacrifice, we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for Christ who lives in us. And because of Jesus' love controlling our lives, motivating our lives, then no matter how high, how great the cost is, we are willing to pay in obedience to Jesus' calling. And then also Jesus gives us another precious promise in chapter 10. Although we face such suffering, persecution, we have the promise of the Heavenly Father's presence, protection, and care. And when you read the New Testament, you can see the disciples facing suffering, persecution, and death. Yet they had such joy, they had such peace, they had such satisfaction deep in their souls because God was faithful to this promise. They had God's presence, they had God's protection, and they had God's care. So we can see that this is Jesus' model of servants. We are to serve the community, meeting the needs holistically. We are to have compassion on the community. And we are to pray. And we are to pay the cost and answer Christ's call and be willing to be sent. And we can see that in Matthew, as the disciples pray for workers, did God answer their prayers? In chapter 10, we see that God answered their prayers. God sent the 12 disciples out to reap the harvest. Those who prayed became willing to pay the cost, and they became willing to be sent out. So that is what we have to do. We have to pray and ask the Lord to work in our lives and work in our hearts so that we are willing to pay the cost and we are willing to be sent. So lastly, I would like to share with you what I and the church learn and how we experience God's guidance and presence in the Faithful Project and reaching out to the community in the last 2 years. So the story actually began in 1993, okay? That is when this church, which had about 110 members, by God's grace, purchased this gigantic 52,000 square foot warehouse. At that time, we were sure that God gave us so much space, we can use it all by ourselves, that we had the vision and the burden to share the space with the community and to use this space to serve the community and to share God's love with them. So through the years, God gave us the resources so that we gradually renovated different portions of the warehouse into usable space. And then by 2005, we had finished all the renovations except the big warehouse there and all the outside renovations because we ran out of money. So we couldn't do anymore, okay? And then we just waited and we prayed before the Lord, asking Him to open the way for us to finish renovating the big gym and all the outside renovations. And so in 2010, January, I don't know whether you remember, something very important happened in that month. January 2010. That was the month that Pastor Victor started the Wednesday morning weekly 5 a.m. prayer meeting. So one of those mornings, he invited us to pray about our dreams for the church. And I was moved to ask everyone to pray for this impossible dream. Finish the warehouse, make it into a big gym, so that we can serve the community. At that time, it was an impossible dream. We had no money, we had no manpower, we had no resources. Just a dream and a handful of people praying every Wednesday morning. God is faithful. God answers prayers. So by September of 2010, I found out that we could apply to the government for $500,000. And you know that when the government wants to give you money, there are all these fine print and conditions. So when I look at all the fine print, our church and our building project fulfilled every single condition that the government had set. I was so excited. So I keep on praying to ask God to confirm it. And God confirmed it in October of 2010. The church board unanimously passed the plan to apply the government for funding, and in November the same year, the membership approved the same plan. But I was also scared at that time, because I know that applying for this funding would take a lot of time, a lot of energy, and there was no guarantee that we would even receive 1 cent, because there were so many organizations applying for the same funding. So there was a big risk there. So I didn't know whether we should apply. And then the other problem was, we had no one to apply for that funding. So everyone thought that I would be the one to do it. But as I looked at my situation at that time, there was no way I could do it. So I was working as a full-time family physician. I was in charge of a four-doctor clinic. I was training four doctors. I was training more than 10 pre-med students. I had to take care of my wife and 2 teenage children, and also elderly parents who are almost 18 years old who live with us. I was serving on the church board as the chairman. I had to involve in all the ministries and guide the church. I was doing discipleship training with 4 young people. I was organizing all the EQ classes and outreach. And I was caring for many different brothers, sisters and friends. I was already using every minute of my time to serve the Lord. So for me to take extra time to do this application was impossible. I kept praying. And as I prayed, I was deeply touched again by God's sacrificial love for me. I saw how I was such an unworthy sinner, and God loved me so much. Jesus loved me so much, and he died for me on the cross, and he guided my life throughout. And I was moved to respond, to recommit myself to him. So I said, Lord, here I am. My time, my money, my energy is all yours. According to my calculation, there's no way I can participate in this project. I deserve the time and the energy. So I'm willing to obey. I'm willing to take that step of faith, to trust in you, to open the way. After that prayer, God gradually opened the way so that many people came to help me. So that in my clinic, I had many helpers. In the church board, I had another deacon helping me. In the application process, I had Aaron helping me. And then in the EQ, there were other people who took over the ministry. And as we began to prepare the application, God provided us with 8 community partners. And as I looked at those community partners, they can provide so many different services to those in need in the community. From the kids, to young people, to parents, to seniors, to those with mental illness, to those who are hungry. And I contacted the government representatives on all 3 levels, hoping to gain their support. And you know that city councillors, provincial MPs and federal MPs are so busy many times it's hard for them to take time to meet with you. God was working. All three representatives not only took time to meet with me, they were willing to give our church our thankful support. And then God continued to guide. We arranged bank financing. And then we worked on the application. The deadline was March the 1st, 2011. But because there were so many things to prepare, we weren't ready by the deadline. But God was in charge. God made them extend the deadline to March 31st so that we had enough time to finish our application. And then in May, the government representative contacted me. Because in 2002, we received $200,000 from the provincial government to hold a series of parent training courses. So the government representative asked me, you had 11 community partners that time. Who were they? And what were their contact information? So I knew what he was up to. He was getting references, right? Then I was a bit worried because that project was 10 years ago. Many of those people have moved on. Maybe they don't remember our cooperation and our collaboration with them. So I just prayed, and then the Lord worked in a wonderful way. The government official contacted one person. The person he contacted was the medical director of the Institute of Family Living, Dr. Danny Young. So he was my partner in my clinic for more than 20 years and an old friend. So he gave us the best reference possible. When I think back a lot, the odds are amazing. The government official could have picked any one of those 11. And God led him to pick the one that could give us the best reference. So you can see that God is working. And then in June of 2011, we had a meeting with the government officials to present our plan and for them to tour our facility. So that morning, as I was about to leave for the church for the meeting, my dad comes up to me and tells me, "You know that last night I had to take your mom to the emergency department. She had chest pain. My mom has had heart problems and has had two heart surgeries. So I was very, very worried for her." And my dad said, "Can you drive me to the hospital so that we can see how mom is?" So my heart, there was a big conflict and struggle. There was this important meeting for the church. If I cancel this meeting, our hopes of getting the funding would be zero. And then my mom was in the hospital, in the emergency department. I prayed, what choice should I make? Cancel the meeting, go to the hospital, go to the meeting, and leave my mom there. As I prayed, God led me to make a difficult condition. So I told my dad, "I have an important meeting at the church I have to go to. You can ask my wife to drive you to the hospital. I will pray for you. I will pray for mom, that God will be with her." On my way driving to the car, in the car to the church, I had many thoughts going through my mind. One of my thoughts was Matthew 10. If we are to follow Jesus, there is a cost. We are to love Jesus more than even those who we love the most, our family. I not only had that thought, I also was reminded that when we want to do things for God, Satan will attack us. Satan was attacking me. Satan was attacking my beloved family member, my mom. And I prayed for God's protection. I prayed that God would give me focus at the meeting to present our plan, and that God would protect my mother in the hospital. God's presence is so precious. So he answered my prayer. I was able to focus and present our proposal to the government officials, and they had a very favorable reaction. And when I got home from the church, My dad, my mom, and my wife were home already, and my mom's chest pain was not a heart attack. So God protected me. God worked another way. So in June of 2011, I also had a sabbatical year from the board, so I had more time to work on the project. And then by end of July of 2011, we received good news. The government accepted our application and would give us $500,000 towards the construction of our new gym. And for this big project, it was overwhelming. But God raised up so many people in the church who were willing to help and lead the project so that we could proceed. And then in September of 2011, we had our news conference. And for in the history of our church, for the first time, representatives from all three levels of government came and expressed their full support for the project. The representative from the Ontario Foundation was late. We had to start without him. We were so worried that when it came time for him to speak, that he would not be here. But he arrived a few minutes before his speech. Later, he told us that he was in a car accident. And he made it here in the nick of time. So God was even protecting him so that we could have our news conference. And then I found that God was not only working in my heart, God was working in the hearts of other leaders in the church to place this vision of community outreach in their hearts. So you know Pastor Victor, he has this heart for that, and with the food bank. Pastor Lee last summer led 10 students to visit all the houses in the neighborhood and had two family carnival days to reach out to them. Pastor Chan has started Tai Chi classes, like their classes, to reach out to the community. Brother Ray has the ESL classes. We continue to have our EQ ministries and other outreaches to the community. So that we can see God's hand in this project, guiding each step of the way. 2 years ago, it was an impossible dream. By next month, everything will be finished. If it were not for God's great power working among us, were it not for God responding to the faithful prayer of His people, no way we can have our gym. So in the beginning, I asked you a few questions, right? What is the goal and the vision of our project? It is to outreach the community and share God's love. How has God guided us? God has guided us each step of the way in powerful and miraculous ways. And how is this related to the, let's look at some slides. This is from the new conference. This is the Ontario Church Foundation rep speaking. Also, what we're doing, we're following Jesus' footsteps and His model and example of service. So now let us look at the slogan and the response form. Okay? So in your bulletins, you should have the response form. Can everyone get that? And if you don't have a pen, you can raise up your hand. Maybe the ushers can help pass out the pen so that we can fill out the response forms together. So our slogan captures what I just shared with you about our vision. Let's read it out together, okay? Share God's love, serve the community, sacrifice by faith, invest in eternity. Actually, that is my version of it. You know what your version should sound like? Share God's love, serve the community, sacrifice by faith, invest in eternity. Can you guys do that? Okay, let's do it together. Your version, okay? We'll do it slower and then we'll do it faster, okay? Share God's love, serve the community, sacrifice by faith, invest the eternity. I think Gloria got it, okay? So let's do it loud and once more, okay? Everyone try to get it, okay? Share God's love, serve the community, sacrifice by faith, invest in eternity. Okay, next Sunday I'll be texting everyone. So if you don't know where Gloria can teach you, okay? So this is a response form. I want you to turn to that. It's from your bulletin. So I want you to pray, and then that by faith you can give offering every day to our building fund. I will talk more about that later. I want you to pray to see if you are willing to volunteer to serve in the gym, to welcome the users and serve them and to build relationships with them. And if you're willing to do that, I want you to circle number 2 and write down the number of hours per week you're available and the days of the week, like for example Tuesday 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. or Saturday 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Write down the days of week and time. And we will be collecting these response forms so that when we have the gym going, then we can contact everyone to be involved. If you're willing to invite friends to join the activities in the gym, basketball, badminton, table tennis, etc., and build relationships with them, circle 3. You're willing to pray for this vision and project, circle 4. And if you have other gifts or talents you can offer, for example, you can help us with accounting, help us with administration, you can help us teach basketball or badminton or table tennis, you can circle that and then put that in, and then put in your contact information. Now in your bulletin there's also another sheet. We will need to hire a part-time gym manager and an outreach director. So if you know anyone who's suitable, please give this paper to them. And then let us look at the financial aspects of the project. So the total cost is $1.6 million. But as I say, God has already provided for his own work. God, in 2 years' time, has already provided $1 million for us. All we need to do is to raise $600,000 to pay off the debt, and then we are done. So I think today, as I invite you to participate in this faith promise, it is our great privilege. It is God's blessing and God's grace that we have this privilege to participate in the miracle that he is doing among us. So I invite each one of you to participate. Now this offering is on top of your regular offering. That's why it's called faith promise. That you are to trust God by faith to provide you with an amount in the coming year, 2012. So you can see there is a nice bookmark. You don't have to hand this in. You can pray and ask God for a faith amount for 2012. Write it in there. Keep it. And this is a reminder of your promise to God. So we have 3 goals for 2012. So success goal, 100,000. Challenge goal, 150,000. Miracle goal, 200,000. And if everyone participates, this goal should not be hard to reach. So in our English congregation, Catholic congregation, Mandarin congregation, there are about 500 people. If everyone gives $1 a day, we can pay off all the debt in 4 years. For $1 a day, less than the price of a coffee, you can invest in eternity. As we outreach to people among the community, their destiny is eternal death and hell. For that little investment, they can come use our facilities, we can share God's love and share God's gospel with them. They can have eternal life, eternal value for such a small investment. If you cannot afford $1 a day, that's fine. Give 10 cents a day. As God enables you, give 50 cents a day. Some of us don't just go for a small coffee at Tim Hortons. We go to Starbucks for the latte. Those of us can probably give $5, $10, $50 a day so that we can have this investment in eternity. So I want you all to prayerfully fill out those response forms, and then maybe at the end, I think after Pastor Victor goes through the green form, that our church can collect them. And if you need more time to prep for prayer, that's fine. In the next 2 weeks, just drop it off in the offering box or at the church office. And then for the bookmark, just keep for yourself. So let's end just say the slogan once more, okay? We'll say it your way, okay? My way is too old-fashioned, fussy, okay? 1, 2, 3. Share God's love, serve the community, sacrifice our faith, invest the eternity. Thank you.